So with Pesach coming up, we're going to start looking at some of the things that come up at the Seder. And what we're going to look at first is the beverage that we're going to use for Kiddush. Pesach begins, you come home for the Seder, everybody sings the Kadesh Urchatz song, and then the first thing that happens is you fill up the cups and you bring out a beverage for the sake of Kiddush and the four cups of wine. But what kind of beverages are we supposed to use for the four cups? Knowing the kind of beverage that we're allowed to use helps us understand the underlying purpose of the four cups. And there are many questions that could come up. One question is the permissibility of using white wines, although most people use red wine at the Seder. And another question would be the permissibility of using grape juice. It's interesting that historically, there isn't a lot of early discussion about grape juice because it wasn't usable in much of Jewish history. Grapes grow in the summer, and if you've ever left grapes on your dining room table, you know that they don't last in your house for months. And since Pesach comes at the end of the winter, there were no grapes around. And had you squeezed the grapes to make grape juice, it would have either spoiled or become wine between when you made it into grape juice and when Pesach came. It's only when you have refrigeration technologies and bottling technologies that people even begin discussing grape juice. In the Prohibition era in the United States, the question of not using wine and using grape juice instead was something that actually began coming up a lot more in earnest. And that's another question that we have to address, which is not just the color of the wine, but also whether it would be applicable for if it's grape juice and not doesn't have intoxicating capacity. So the Gemara in Pesachim says that the criteria for wine at the Seder is that it needs to have ta'am umar'eh. It has to taste like wine, and it also has to look like wine. This is a very cryptic comment as to what exactly this means, because it has to look like wine. So what does that mean? Wine looks like a lot of different things. Wine looks like a lot of different colors. In addition, it has to taste like wine. Well, what does that mean? It has to taste like wine. Does that mean it has to? You have to be able to taste the grapes. Does it need sulfites? Does it need to be alcoholic? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei to prove this from Psalm 23. The section in Mishlei says, "Lemi oy, lemi avoy, lemi midyanim, lemi siach, lemi pitzaim chinam." Who has woe? Who says alas? Who has feuds? Who gets into fights? People who are waiting for wine. Namely, the verse in Mishlei is discouraging people from pursuing wine because it distracts you emotionally. Don't look for red wine. When it goes, when it colors the cup. Because if you drink too much wine, it'll bite you like a snake, and like a viper. Your eyes will see wild things. Your heart will speak mixed up things. It'll be like you're asleep on a sea. So the verses in Mishlei are describing the perils of intoxication. And in passing, it notes that you know, this person who's becoming intoxicated should not pursue red wine. That seems to suggest that I don't know, maybe the prototypical or ideal form of wine is red in color. Not very clear. From the Gemara in Pesachim, you don't really know what is excluded. The Rashbam, perhaps based on the verses in Mishlei, say mentions intoxication. He says, now the Rashbam, of course, was Rashi's grandson, the older brother of Rabbeinu Tam, And Rashbam, we don't have, he wrote a famous commentary on Chumash, also wrote a commentary on the laws of the Seder in the last chapter of Psachim. And the Rashbam basically says, this also sounds like from these verses that intoxication is a factor. So when we look at a first group of sources, the first group of sources seem to imply very clearly that for the Seder, you need to have wine and it needs to be red. The problem with all of this, and we've discussed this in the past, is that the Talmud in Bava Basra explicitly discusses the various requirements for Kiddush. And in doing so, the Gemara there seems to clearly and explicitly permit the use of grape juice and also permit the use of white wine. The verse describes somebody who squeezes grapes into a cup and immediately recites Kiddush. Again, refrigeration was a factor in having grape juice for the Seder, but in the summer, you could take pick grapes off of a vine, squeeze them, and use them for grape juice. That implies that you can use grape juice for Kiddush, and also seems to permit white wine as well. Anyway, so yes, that's the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Beit Yosef in the topic of Kiddush says that there's a preference in using red wine, but it's a preference, namely, fundamentally, grape juice or white wine would have been kosher as well. So here's the tension. On the one hand, in describing the laws of the Seder, we have sources which are telling us pretty clearly, the Rashbam in particular, red intoxicating. And on the flip side, we have the Gemara Baba Basra, which is saying maybe even if not intoxicating, and maybe even if it's wine. So anyway, Shulchan Aruch basically says, like the Gemara Baba Basra for Kiddush, you're allowed to use grape juice for Kiddush. You're allowed to use white wine. Some people say that you can't use white wine, but Shulchan Aruch says that you can. And you can use cooked wines or wines with additive. And this seems to be our practice the entire year, that we allow all of these things from Kiddush. Okay, so up until this point, we talked a little bit about Kiddush and said that, you know what, let me take a step back. So some rabbis want to reach a resolution and say that what's really going on here is that for Kiddush, we're expansive in our permissions to allow white wine and to allow grape juice. And it's specifically at the Seder that we have this greater requirement, to have alcoholic beverages and also red wine. And this was the argument that Rabbi Yitzchak Horowitz in 1926 during Prohibition made. And he notes that in the Book of Judges, Yotam, the son of Gidon, has a whole parable. And in his parable, he says that wine is a special capacity that it makes people and God happy. Namely, that what does it mean to say it makes people happy? It's able to create an emotional state change in people, which is achieved by the alcohol. And he says if it doesn't have alcohol, it's no different from lemon juice and orange juice. Grape juice is nothing. How could you possibly use it? You need to have something alcoholic for the 4 cups of wine. And this seems to be the conclusion also of the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that at the Seder, you really should have red wine. The commentaries explain that it's a preference, it's not a requirement when it comes to the Seder. There's actually an interesting question historically about it. In the time of the blood libel, the Jews actually stopped using red wine at the Seder, which is fascinating. We know that the Christians made the claim at the Seder that the Jews were actually using the blood of Christians to drink at their Seder. Now, there's a lot of literature about why the Jewish people, why the Christians thought that. Part of where the blood libel came from is that Pesach often falls out around the same time of Easter. And Easter is the time in the year in which the Christians commemorate the death of the Christian deity. And so they were very, very focused at this time of year about the death of their deity. And it brought back memories that, at least according to the Christian scriptures, the Jews were intimately involved in the death of the Christian deity. It's actually somewhat funny because today historians generally believe that it was the Romans who killed him for being a rebel, having nothing to do with the Jews. The Christians think it was the Jews who did it. And interestingly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin also says that the Jewish people were somehow involved in the death of the Christian deity. Whatever the reality is, Christians were very much thinking about the Jews killing the Christian deity at around this time of year. And remember also that in the principle of transubstantiation, Christians also believed that wine could represent the blood of their deity. In fact, when they take communion, they drink sometimes wine to represent the blood of their deity. So the idea of drinking blood was also on their minds. So the Christians basically were thinking about drinking blood, and the Christians were also thinking about Jews, being murderers. So then they decided to start a blood libel that at the Seder we were drinking the blood of Christians. The Jews wanted to prevent that, so they intentionally used white wine at the Seder in order to, everybody should know that at the Seder we are, this isn't blood, it's wine, it's not blood at all. So this shows you two things. It shows you that Shulchan Aruch believed that red wine was preferable at the Seder. Reminds us also of the blood of the Jewish people that was spilt at the time, or the Makov blood, so red wine is preferable. But you can use white wine if you're stuck, as was showed in the Gemara of Basra, according to many opinions. And again, it happened in the Jews among the Jews when they didn't use red wine because of the blood because of the blood libel. Okay, so what happens here where all the dust settles? We generally are lenient to allow grape juice at the Seder. Yes, Rabbi Horowitz in Hartford in 1926 said, there needs to have this ability to change a state, emotional state. And the way that we can do that is with alcohol. But our custom is to follow what the Gemara Bava Basra says, that you're allowed to squeeze grapes and use them for Kiddush. And if it's true for Kiddush, if it's good enough for Kiddush, then it's good enough for the Seder. And remember that the Gemara in Pesachim only said that the wine at the Seder needs to have the taste of wine and it has to look like wine, but actually it never said anything about intoxicating capacity. So therefore, I think conventionally our Pesach, I think this is what the OU says. I think this is what Rav Henkin, the first major posek in America in the 20th century, also says. We generally take the assumption that for the Seder, you are allowed to use a grape juice and also white wine. But there are opinions which say red wine is preferred, and opinions which say that intoxicating capacity is also preferred. Nevertheless, there's a very strong custom that many people have to be careful to use alcoholic beverages. Where does this idea come from? The preference to use specifically alcoholic beverages. People say this is the position of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. It's not written anywhere. Now, there are people who say that this is the opinion of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And there are four different explanations for where Rabbi Moshe Feinstein may have gotten this from in insisting that people use alcoholic beverages. One possibility is this idea that it doesn't taste like wine if it doesn't have alcohol. Okay, we've discussed grape juice does have a distinctive grapey taste, even though it doesn't have alcohol. So therefore, it's not so clear that the rationale of it doesn't taste like wine applies if there's no alcohol. Some people say, this is a Yerushalmi somewhere about somebody who gets headaches from the four cups of wine. Although there are a lot of reasons you can get headaches. It could be that the alcohol gives you headaches. It also could be you have an allergic reaction or the sulfites, or you get migraines. So that, you know, that's not necessarily that's a factor. But some people have made the argument that it's a new reason that we haven't seen yet in our discussion about why you need to have wine. And that is that a big part of the Seder is to be free men. Free men and women, and what it means to be free. Just imagine, you know, the feasts of the Middle Ages. Just imagine a large feast somewhere. If you imagine a big feast in the Middle Ages, they're sitting there and they're with cups of wine. And if the Seder is supposed to be a meal of freedom, they say that therefore you should be the requirement should be that you need to have wine because that's what free men drink. Now, the Rambam mentions this in a way that is very eloquent. The Rambam in the Laws of Chametz and Matzah says, "Kishesoid adam b'layla zeh, when somebody feasts on the night of Pesach, targ lachov lishtot, you eat and you drink, v'hu meisiv, and you recline, derech cherut, in the matter of freedom. V'chol echad v'echad, and every Jew, ben anashim, ben nashim, men and women," this is one of the mitzvot, that because it involves a miracle, persume nisa, Women have the mitzvah like men, just like reading the Megillah and lighting the Hanukkah candles. So everybody, irrespective of gender, chayavim lishtos balayla hazeh, everybody has to drink this night, arba kosot shel yayin, four cups of wine, at least four cups of wine. Obviously, you could have more in Shulchan Aruch if you want, etc. You notice how the Rambam juxtaposed between the notion of chayrut, freedom, and immediately thereafter went into the consumption of wine. So some say this is the reason why you need an alcoholic beverage at the Seder, because that's a real sign of freedom. However, they say in the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein that he disagreed. If it really is indeed the case that this is a meal of freedom, and at the Seder we celebrate our freedom from being slaves, part of being free is being able to choose. And especially somebody who doesn't enjoy drinking wine, to say that they must drink wine in order to demonstrate their freedom, I don't know. That's a very interesting assertion. You could have argued, what kind of freedom is that? Saying that somebody needs to drink a beverage that they don't want to drink is not freedom. Freedom means you drink what you want to drink. And therefore, Rabbi Soloveitchik was of the view that grape juice was permissible for the Seder. And so if you want to sort of follow through, we basically have seen that there's a real strong opinion going for a long period of time from the Talmud of Baba Basra to the Shulchan Aruch by Kiddush to Rabbi Soloveitchik that grape juice can be used, Rabbi Henkin as well. But there have always been people who say that better to use something alcoholic. What should somebody do in their own Seder? So one of the balances, which I think people need to think about, is a balance between getting the most out of the Seder versus feeling this requirement to drink an alcoholic beverage. Now, if you have people who at the Seder, you know, they take out the 12%, or some wines, you know, 15% alcohol by volume, and they take a huge Kiddush cup and they drink a huge amount of wine for each of the first two cups, especially people who don't drink a lot of alcohol usually, you might be out of it by the end of the Seder. And what did we accomplish if, the beautiful songs of Hallel, somebody's too tired to be able to appreciate them? So if somebody really can't make it through the Seder drinking alcoholic wine the whole time, I think it's better to fulfill the entire Seder and understand the entire Seder using grape juice than to say, well, we're just going to use wine and then fall asleep. Now, That being said, there are different kinds of wines. You can have a wine which is 15% by volume. You can also have a wine which is a little bit less of an alcoholic content. Let's say you have a wine which is 10%. And let's say you don't have a ginormous cup. You have a smaller cup. A Cao cup, which is 3.3 ounces, is a much smaller volume. Many people say that that volume of 3.3 ounces would be sufficient for the four cups. And then many post-cum say you don't have to drink the entire cup of wine, you only have to drink half of it, which means that instead of 3.3 ounces each cup, you're drinking 1.7 ounces. So if you have a cup which has a little bit less alcohol and you drink only 1.7 ounces, then I think it's a lot easier to drink alcohol and make it through the Seder. I think if it's going to give you migraine or even at that smaller amount of consumption, you're going to fall asleep, stick with the grape juice or half and half, a little bit of wine, a little bit of grape juice, so you can get one of those 3% alcoholic beverages. But if somebody can, there is something to be said to follow the opinion of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein to drink wine, which is a little bit more intoxicating. That emotional, whether it's for that emotional mesameach anashim factor, or whether it's the chirut, the freedom factor, for whatever the reason, there might be a valid argument to say that people can, try to use the alcohol if they are able to. And again, I think the minhag today is to use, red wines and not white, with an understanding that white is kosher if that's the only wine that you have, or for whatever reason, you have more of an allergic reaction to the red wines than the white wines, that somebody would be able to use a white wine and would be able to fulfill the mitzvah of the four cups at the Seder through that type of beverage as well. Chag kasher v'sameach, everybody.